This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, this is Steve Sharippa, better known as Bobby Bacala, and the Michael K. Show starts now, right here on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Michael, Don, Peter, do me a favor. Don't screw this thing up, would you?
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Thursday, January 20th, 2022. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg with you. We're apart, but we're together for the next 4 hours. The other 20, your responsibility. Little dusting of snow in the area. Boy, how times have changed. At 4 or 5:30 in the morning, got an email, Don, that school was canceled where I live.
Really?
I mean, really? I remember walking uphill barefoot in eight feet of snow, and I got to school. They never closed school in the Bronx when I was a kid. Completely shut down for no reason. And there's no snow here.
It would really take Snowmageddon for them to postpone. It probably happened. I can count on one hand the times I stayed home from school because of snow.
Now this is going to bring up Don's really flying the ointment, burr under the saddle, the Mercedes-Benz commercial.
Well, it's complete ignorance. You know the one we're talking about.
Tell us why, Don.
If you're new to the show, it's all you got to get this Mercedes-Benz because it could drive in the snow, four-wheel drive, blah, blah, blah. So the scene opens with the kids looking out the window, and it's snowing, and they're jumping up and down on the bed. Snow day, snow day. And the dad opened the door and said, okay, guys, 10 minutes. Well, what, does the dad determine whether the schools are open or not? What, is he going to drive the kids to a closed school, and then we end the commercial with the price of the car and two frozen kids like The Shining on the stairs of a closed school?
It's the best point you've ever made.
And he feels strongly about this.
Well,
Peter,
I just don't understand the money that's invested in commercials. And I understand sometimes you've got to suspend reality to sell the product. But how does it – what does it matter the kind of vehicle? You can have a tank. You can't take your kids to a closed school.
But maybe the kids – and let me help because I have a Mercedes-Benz and I love Mercedes-Benz and White Plains.
Sure you do.
Maybe they think it's a snow day because of all the snow, and it's not a snow day according to school, and the father was able to get them through the snow with his great Mercedes-Benz.
That's a theory. It's an idea. But I don't think they determine whether school's open or not, or maybe some of the highbrow places like where you live. Well, we shouldn't close the school because everybody's got a BMW four-wheel drive. They should have no problem getting here.
Mercedes-Benz four-wheel drive.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'm sure BMW makes one as well.
Well, they don't sponsor our show.
It's a great that's the big difference. Sure.
Yeah. Sure.
I wouldn't know. I don't do reads anymore.
That might be a drop. Keep going.
I got to tell you, I've given this some serious thought, and whether or not I execute it will be decided tomorrow. But I'm always thinking about what's best for the show.
Sure.
That's my raison d'etre.
Yeah.
What is good for this 4-hour block of programming?
Right.
And then secondly, what's good for our station. But most of all, I care about this 4-hour block.
Damn right.
Well, sometimes they go hand in hand.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, we've pretty much supported the place for the last 10 years. But anyway, my point is this. I am thinking about not making a pick tomorrow, taking an over, just to give you guys a chance to get back in.
Don't talk down to us. Don't be condescending.
I'm not being condescending.
Yes, you are.
If I get a zero and you guys don't, I mean, Peter can't catch up even if it's a zero.
That's not true. Oh, not 1 week. No.
You can't get 9 points. Don, let's see if Don does it. I'm seriously considering it. It would be the height of arrogance, and I think the people that listen would really
enjoy
it.
You're not serious, though. That's the sad part.
I am serious.
You are serious.
I tweeted it out.
Peter, here's where – see, Michael always has an ulterior motive, right? He's always something lurking back there that is the ultimate reason why he does it, all right? He's making it seem like it's good for the show to give us peasants a chance, us ignoramuses, to be able to catch up with the genius, right? Like he's playing that kind of game.
Mm-hmm. I know where you're going.
But then we come back and win, or one of us comes back and wins, and it's, well, the only reason you won is because I gave up. So it's giving him – and out. So he can't choke it away because he's got the built-in excuse. So it ruins our chances of winning and being able to celebrate that win as being legit. And meanwhile, if Michael ends up winning anyway, he comes across like a golden god.
I gotta
I'm not going to play your reindeer game.
I got to tell you something, Don.
Make your picks.
You know me more than anybody. It's amazing. It's a win-win for me. It is a win-win. And you know what? If I don't want to make my picks, you can't make me. If I hand in a blank ballot.
There's no chance you do that. But Don's right. The reason you would do it would be to benefit yourself.
Yeah, of course. Everything I do is to benefit myself.
Right.
But that's not what you opened with. You talked about the show.
Well, but if I benefit myself, if it helps the show, it benefits me. It benefits Peter. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, sure.
I don't buy it. I don't know how I not allow it to happen. As you said, we can't force you to make your picks.
Right. I could just have Butter make the picks.
All right. You do what you got to do.
I be me.
And we'll do what we got to do.
All right.
Because maybe we'll pull the same stunt.
Then you'll still be 4.5 and 9.5.
Well, but then I'll say, listen, but since you took a knee, we took a knee. You ruined the contest because you didn't have the guts. Here's how I'd spin it, Peter, is that he didn't have the guts to make his picks. He was afraid he was going to choke, so he took the knee. So we'll take the knee too. It's not sponsored. We'll just dump it. It's over. And instead of having a really fun competition, Michael, being a baby, took his ball and went home. That's the way I'd spin it. So go. Don't make your picks. I won't make my picks. Peter, you do what you want to do, and we'll ruin what's a fun part of the show for your ego. Go ahead. See how that works out.
All right. We'll see. Again, tomorrow is when we'll find out whether or not I do it at 5:45. But we still have to make picks against DiPietro and Rothenberg. We can't let them beat us.
Well, now what we can do, since we're not making picks tomorrow, we can actually have intelligent conversation about what to pick.
See,
so we can get back to our winning ways here.
But if none of you make picks tomorrow, then Peter is officially eliminated from winning, because there's only 8 more points available after this week.
Mm-hmm.
But was he really?
Was he really what?
Was he really eliminated, or did the game just unfortunately fold up? Like the XFL. Right, we didn't get to finish the season.
Right, we'll never know.
Well, we all know. I mean, there are teams that won, teams that lost, but nobody really won or lost because they didn't finish the season.
I wonder if our listeners would like me not to make the picks.
Who's going to vote? I don't want Michael to make the picks.
Because that puts more pressure on you two. Now, you're going to ruin it if you also don't make picks. So if you don't make picks, I'll make the picks.
Don't even go there. Oh, we ruined it. Because we decided not to make picks when you decided not to make picks.
That's deep.
All of a sudden, it's my fault. Talk about untouchable. You put on a suit of armor, wherever you do, you end up being the king. No, you would be wrong if you didn't make your picks.
Well, we'll see what happens. By the way, Don, great call by you and a really good Ranger win yesterday. They were down 3-1?
3-1. They were down 2-0, 3-1. Awful first period. If I told you the final score would be 6-3, you would have bet the house that it would be the Leafs that would have won 6-3. And it's the kind of win that just reminds you that this team's not going anywhere. I don't believe they're cup ready yet, but their record is what it is, Michael. They got 56 points. They're on pace for 112 points. That's going to flirt with the President's Trophy. Now, from an analytical standpoint, they're kind of doing with it with mirrors because they don't play very well 5-on-5, but their penalty kill's outstanding. It's top 3. Their power play's in the top 10. They're getting tremendous goaltending. They're having a heck of a season, and that was one a real measuring stick win against a really good Leaf team. And now they'll get another test tomorrow in Carolina against the Hurricanes, who I think are the best team in the division. So ride this out. It's fun. They continue passing every test that's thrown in front of them, and they deserve exactly where they are right now, one of the best teams in the NHL, and we'll see what the second half of the season
Bad news, brings. Though, Peter. Bad news. Tomorrow's game against the Hurricanes is a 7 o'clock start, robbing us of the final half hour of our show. Ranger pregame at 6:30 tomorrow. Shortens ENN is what it does.
That's what I don't like. That's the part that hurts me.
Yep.
Especially on a Friday.
I have to do a
big ENN. Yep.
Right.
All right, so we were talking about this. We got the big divisional round weekend. I believe that this is the best weekend of football in the playoffs in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I just do. I mean, because you've whittled down the Flotsam and the Jetsam. They're out. Now, these are good teams. And the reason why they're hard to pick these games, because teams are kind of equal. You can make a case for every single one of them. But one thing that you always know is that the Giants and the Jets are not in there.
That's true.
So the Giants have narrowed down their GM search to three. All right, so there's three final candidates, and the word is that we're hearing that it could be named tomorrow, maybe later today. And then they start the coach search. Now, we know where the Jets are. The Jets have about the fifth or sixth most cap space available, $53 million. They have the two first-round picks. I believe they have four in the first 40 picks, something like that. They've got the draft capital to really improve. And we started to think about this, and we said, this is a good thing to bat around. Which team is closer? So I think the knee-jerk reaction would be that the team that doesn't have the GM or the head coach can't be closer than the other team. But I think that might surprise you both. I think the Giants are closer to playing significant games in December. Now, a lot of it hinges, is Daniel Jones healthy? And can he be a really good quarterback? And the head coach that you bring in, can he squeeze the most out of this roster? Now, I look at the Giants offense and I see a team with a lot of talent that for some reason or another never realized the talent this year. They've got wide receivers. They've got a running back that was the second pick in the draft. They've got weapons. So either Daniel Jones is a quarterback or they go out and get a veteran quarterback who's going to be much better than Daniel Jones, and they could play some serious games. They could be 9-8 maybe next year. Now, with the Jets, I mean, there's so much heavy lifting to do, and you got to hit on both of your picks. They don't have nearly the amount of weapons that the Giants have, and Zach Wilson has to take one of those Josh Allen jumps in the second year, which we don't know if he's able to do. And there's a lot of other question marks on the Jets. So everybody, I keep reading, well, there's a lot of pressure on Joe Douglas. They have to play meaningful games in December. Well, there's no guarantee that's going to happen. In fact, the odds are against that happening. And it makes me laugh. Well, you know, if he doesn't do well, you know, they're going to have to look around for another GM. Yeah, because that would be smart. Because after Robert Saleh has 2 years, go get him another GM and do the same thing that you've done for the last decade and stagger the hires. That makes no sense. So football takes time. It's hard to turn around a team in a hurry. It's just hard. It takes time, and I think the Jets are on the right path. But I don't know about you guys. I don't see the Jets being a contending team next year. Do you?
Well, to contend, they'd have to more than double their win total.
Right.
Which is very difficult to do from year to year unless you make major significant changes to your roster, which they could potentially do with the money they have in free agency and with their two first-round picks. So if they hit on their picks and they do well in free agency and Wilson matures into being the quarterback that they drafted second overall in his second year, could this team be playing meaningful games in December? Absolutely. Because meaningful games in December means that you 7-8 win team, possibly win 9. So you go into December with that third wild card of being mathematically alive. I mean, look at the teams that were the third wild card in each league, in each conference this year. It was Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. They weren't really playoff teams, but they took advantage of what was there. So at 8 and 9 you might be alive going into that. At 8-8 you could be alive going into the last week of the season. So They could play meaningful games, and I would hope that they would. Because with that kind of cap space and with those kind of picks, Michael, Joe Douglas is going to have to start getting this team moving forward. You can't call yourself, you know, oh, I'm sorry, we're a rebuilding team. Okay, you're a rebuilding team this year where there wasn't a lot of expectations, but there's got to be vast improvement. And if there's vast improvements, then that would mean playing meaningful games in December. Not guaranteed to be above 500, but on the first week of December, being mathematically alive, I don't think that's too much to ask.
But there's one variable in here, and Peter brought it up yesterday, and it's a big part of this discussion. The Jets are in a good division. The Giants are in a terrible division. The Giants could do some damage against those three teams. The Buffalo Bills aren't going anywhere. You would assume that the Patriots are going to be better. And Miami, you know, finished the season winning 7 of their last 8 games. They're going to have a new coach, so I don't know which way they'll go. If they'll get Deshaun Watson, I have no idea. But I think Miami is much better than the Jets. People think, well, meaningful game. Well, you got to win games within your division. You do. Are they going to be able to do that? And most of it rests on the young shoulders of Zach Wilson.
Right, which ultimately is going to be the final analysis of the general manager. So if Wilson has an awful second year, you don't think that falls on Joe Douglas?
No.
No?
Well, I mean,
he took him second overall. You know, traded.
It will fall on everybody because Robert Saleh's involved in that selection. I see what you mean, but if Wilson does not progress, that's going to be on Wilson. And you could say, well, Douglas made the wrong pick. Okay, yeah, but you're going to fire him?
Well, I'm not saying that he's going to get fired, but there's already people who are wondering exactly how well he's done. I think he's done a pretty decent job in the draft, and of course the trade with Adams to get these picks was good, but there's also some misses that he's had. But if Wilson doesn't improve in his second year, that's on Saleh, but the guy that picked them number two overall then goes right into the crosshairs.
Oh, yeah. That's the clock is different for Douglas this year. This is his real clock, is year two with his quarterback.
And I understand what you're saying about the division, but, you saw what happened in the NFC West. They took three teams to the playoffs. So all you really have to be is better than one of the teams. Could they be better than Miami? Yeah, they could be. I'm not saying they're definitely going to be. I would think New England and Buffalo, that'd be tough. But let's see. What if Mac Jones turns out to not be the guy? And are they going to be able to do what they did this year with him? Just being conservative, just trying to find exotic ways to win games, or is it going to eventually expose that they're going to need another quarterback and possibly have to hit the reset button there? So I think it's very difficult to double your win total, but with the amount of roster changes that they have at their disposal with the picks and the salary cap, that they've got the opportunity to do it. A 4-5 win team next year, Michael, Joe Douglas is clearly on the clock. Clearly.
They might be on the clock, but I don't think it would be the wise thing to fire him. First of all, he has a 6-year contract, and you can't split up GMs and coaches. I think you give him that third year. I think for those that think that the Jets have a chance to make the playoffs next year, I would be flabbergasted if they made the playoffs next year.
All right. But
so they have to take more than an incremental jump. He has to hit on his two first-round draft picks. And $53 million, guys, it's not as much as you think. It's a couple of players. Well, and they have a lot of holes.
Well, Berrios is good. Moore is good. Looks like they've got some running backs.
They
got to
sign Berrios.
Line. Well, I know, and hopefully they will with the cap space that they have. But these were things that they were able to get with Joe Douglas. Hey, here's what I'd say. Let's say they go 7-10 next year. Hey, you improved by three games. Look pretty good. Hang around. Maybe play a meaningful game in December, and then I think you got to make the playoffs in 2023. And if you're like a 6-7 win team in 2023, then you start to wonder, okay, do we have the right quarterback? Do we have the right general manager? That's the way it works in this sport now, Michael. They had their year. This was their year to kind of do what you want to do. And now you got to see improvement. 7 wins next year. All right, well, then that means that you're talking 9 wins, 10 wins the next year. And that means going to the playoffs in this day and age. And if you don't do that and you take a step back, then you're really going to have to assess. And now if you do that, and I hate to think in negative terms, but if we're talking about a team that misses the playoffs and digresses at the end of 2023, you'd be talking about what? Would you be just finishing year 5 of Joe Douglas? Year 3 of Robert Saleh?
No, next year would be year 2.
Well, I'm saying 2023.
Oh, okay.
All right, so
after
2023, if we fast forward 3 years from now and the Jets really have not moved at all, guess what? They're both gone.
Yep. Now, Peter also brought up a good point the other day, and that's a caveat in this discussion as well. Does a new GM of the Giants come in and blow it up? Now, I don't think they should, because I think that there's foundational pieces there, and you keep them.
Well, like
and you
what?
See what you could do. But if you do blow it up, then the Jets would be closer. I just don't think they're going to blow it up.
Talk to me about the foundational pieces. I want to know.
All right. You got Galladay. You've got Shepard. You've got Saquon Barkley. How many teams have players like that? Those are three good players.
Plenty of teams have players like that.
Well, Jets don't. The Jets don't.
No, the Jets. Well, the Jets have. Hold on. You would take right now Kenny Galladay over Jamison Crowder?
Kenny Galladay from the Lions, not this year's Kenny Galladay. He was awful.
Right. Well, I mean,
Crowder wasn't great for the Jets.
But there are pieces there. Tony, as he said, Shepard, Galladay.
Andrew Thomas.
There's there's some pieces there that you invested in either financially or with high picks that not going to just get rid of.
I forgot Tony. Tony, Slayton's a free agent, right?
Okay, but just real quick, the pieces that you guys are hanging on to in this sell everything fire, but these are the items that you're saying, no, I can't let these go. One is a guy who played so ridiculously low what they gave up relative to what he was paid that you're praying he goes back to his Detroit form. And the other one was decent on the field, had a couple of PR gaffes, and has a history of bad decisions off the field. I'm just saying, these are the foundational pieces you're referring to.
But again, you make it seem like, all right, I'll just snap my fingers and we'll just start over again. It's very difficult to do that. There are salary cap ramifications to letting guys go. There's ramifications to letting go of a first-round pick after 1 year. I mean, so when you invest in what you did in Thomas and what you did in Tony, you want to see more than just 1 year when obviously they were poorly coached, Peter, because you just changed coaches.
True.
So now, if I'm bringing in a new general manager, I let him evaluate. And maybe that general manager evaluates the way you do and says, I don't see any foundational pieces. Let's get rid of them.
Isn't there a bit of semantics here, though? Because, it doesn't sound like you're saying – these are foundational, keep it all cost pieces. It sounds like what you're saying, these are logistical things that are just hard to move and you need to see through.
Right. But it could be both, Peter.
Yeah. But I don't think the first one's true. But say foundational pieces, that to me is not what they've gotten so far from the players you mentioned.
No, but we're also talking about Thomas 2 years, Tony 1 year, Galladay 1 year here as a Giant, and again, poorly coached.
And if you somehow return to Saquon Barkley from his first year, you've got a great player. We don't have to debate whether or not you would pick a running back with the second pick. I think that's already been determined. Yeah. It was dumb. But you have him now.
Right.
And if he can return a year after the injury and be that player, that's a foundational piece.
And a defense that was only a year removed from being pretty good to really good at times last year. So if you get all that fixed, if you fix the offensive line, which I think is fixable without having to spend first-round picks, by the way, and get it serviceable, then you make the decision, all right, who my quarterback is. Is it Jones? Do I go out and get Russell Wilson? And if you do that, well, then what you're saying is I think that while we have these guys on our roster, let's take advantage of it and see if we can't make a little bit of a run. That's what Mike Tannenbaum said. He believes that they've got talent, that with the right offensive line and the right quarterback and the right coach, that this is a team that can compete to make the playoffs. Is that what this general manager is going to want to do? Or is he going to look like you and say, I want to bring in all my own guys? And if you do that, well, then you're going to spend the next couple of years being bad, and you might as well get rid of Daniel Jones because there's no way you're going to find out what he is if he's got nobody to throw to and nobody to protect him. So are you willing, Peter, to completely veg this whole thing out, scorched earth, and not have any idea who your quarterback's going to be? When the Jets did it, they knew they had the second overall pick and they were going to take Zach Wilson. Mm-hmm. You'd be doing that not knowing who the draft is going to provide for you with a quarterback. So with that unknown, isn't it better at least for now to try to see if you can make it work for a couple of years with a veteran quarterback? This isn't Giant fan just hoping for wins. This is just taking advantage of the situation that's been presented to you.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's about the way we're framing this. I think that the Giants have certain pieces that they're not going to move. Galladay's not going right. He couldn't. There's nothing to do with him, right? I mean, the hit would be too big. Who wants that contract? They're going to have Galladay. I understand why Andrew Thomas in his second year looks like he could be. I think he's the one who could end up being foundational, right? Tony, they just drafted high. So they have these pieces there that I understand why they're there. But, Don, I'm saying for the other things, if you have other certain pieces, and again, it doesn't make sense to worry about Saquon either. You have another year on Saquon, so that's fine. But what I'm saying is if there was a piece where it did make sense to move it, I think this is a year where you move those pieces. You don't say, no, we're going to hold on to everything there because I want it to be just right so I can get an eye on what Daniel Jones can really do. I think you say he's going to have some basic pieces in place. And we're going to do the best we can. But if there are things that can be done for the future, I still think you're doing that.
I'm going to take a brief timeout. When we come back, I'm going to tell you what a difference a year makes. And also a cautionary tale about all these assistant coaches, all these coordinators that are being trumpeted for top spots. And again, what a difference a year makes. And you'll know exactly what I'm talking about when we get back. We'll take your phone calls as well. It's Kay LeGreco, Rosenberg, and you on a Thursday right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Bad habits lead to
white eyes, staring in space, and I know I so this morning, got up early, and I started to think, you know what I miss? I miss a list. And I texted Don. I said, Don, you got a list? And he said, done. Just like that. 4:30, we will have a Don LaGreca list.
Wow, I'm excited about that.
Yeah, a lot of people are. And Don just had a list in his head. Didn't even have to think that hard about it. I think his answer was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. It's the greatest word in the English language.
Cool.
It's done well for itself, that word.
Cool.
Oh, listen, all the little, you know, the words are like, oh, that's so, you know, 2012 or whatever. From 1950 right through now, cool has been the perfect word for so many different situations.
Slang comes and goes, but...
not cool.
Not cool. Cool just lives on.
And it hasn't changed because a lot of slang changes its meaning, but cool is still cool.
We found that with the hookup.
Yeah. Yeah, the hookup's different.
It is. It is. Is it the best slang word of all time?
Yes. I can't even think of anything close.
Maybe you should do another list, the top five slang terms.
Because cool is used by every demographic in the country. Everyone uses cool. That's special. Dude has had a hell of a run.
Yeah, I mean, dude's right there.
Yeah, dude, there's no shame if you're dude, you know?
But
you're,
like 23 you feel good Skidoo
what
didn't
was that?
Make it.
Sorry, what was that?
23 Skidoo. Didn't make it. Didn't make it past like 36. Died right there.
I don't know what 23 Skidoo is.
Well, look it up. Well, you got the Google machine there. I'll tell you everything you need to know.
I have to spell it out or just use the number?
23, I think it's the number. Or you can say Mattingly Skidoo, whatever you like. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Corey
Skidoo
in Edison. Corey.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I'm a Jets fan, but I believe with Don, like Don said about the Giants having the best chance in 2022 of having a good season, as long as they have a coach that gets the most out of that talent. The long term, I think it's the Jets because I think JD is just special at drafting. You know, we had four or five good rookies, not even counting the number two overall pick. That, you know, going forward, that we think they have a lot of promise. So, but I think
would agree.
I think
that
year
last year, Corey. He had a good draft. The year before, he didn't. So we'll see.
Right.
I mean, he didn't have a great draft that the year before. So we'll have to see exactly how it goes. Hey,
and this is why the folly, Michael, of what does the record have to be for you to be satisfied? They're 4-13, so much better than the Giants 4-13. So much better. It's night and day.
Right.
Because it's all about feel, and you just feel better about the Jets and what they did this season, despite the fact that their record wasn't very good. Now, I don't know if you can get away with 4-13 next year, no matter how good it feels.
It all rests on the shoulders of Wilson. I really believe that. He has to make an exponential jump. He just has to. Let's go to Mike in Sussex. Mike.
Hi, how are you guys? Thank you for taking my call. I enjoy the show.
Nice.
I appreciate what you've been saying here about the Giants. I'm hoping that they go ahead and choose this guy, Peters, from San Francisco. I think that'll bring a total new outlook. He has a lot of experience. But I think that, you know, going back to earlier, I think what Peter was saying, I think that they're going to have to, you know, start to make a move on some of these big names, first of all, because they don't have the cap space and everything. But, I mean, a guy like Barkley, I mean, you even have Booker that had more yards per carry than Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
I like the guy, but the guy I think he's not going to be able to do it. Jones is too injury prone. He's not successful. I think they're going to need to look at a quarterback. Ingram drops too many balls. I mean, it's time to look for a guy for tight end.
He's a free agent.
So I mean, there's a lot of things that have to be done, and I think they do have to really blow up the team.
First of all, when you say blow up the team, I mean, we're talking about what? You're getting rid of Galladay? Do you not understand the salary cap hit that would be? Stuff like that.
I don't want to defend Galladay. He had an awful season. He was brought here because all he does is score touchdowns and didn't score one. But can we admit now, based upon what happened, that their play calling and their offensive abilities coaching-wise was borderline clueless? So, again, you can't defend Barkley, you can't defend Ingram's drops and all that, but when you admit at the end of the season that they had no idea what they were doing offensively from a coaching standpoint, that a good coach coming in here could help this guy. These guys, we saw Saquon have his rookie of the year. Galladay had big years in Detroit. So these guys have a resume, and then it completely fell off the cliff over the last couple of years. Well, maybe it has a lot to do with coaching. Now, maybe not. We'll see. But right now, if you had to bet, it would probably be because, you know, Jason Garrett and Freddie Kitchens just didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know how to utilize these players.
I resemble that, Don.
Let's go to Pushkar in Virginia. Pushkar.
Hello, Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you guys?
Great. How are you?
Thanks. Love your show. Amazing. You guys do a great job. I want to talk to you about your picks. Peter, I love you, man. I was praying for you this weekend that at least you will win one of the points. And I think Michael dropping out of the picks for this weekend is a great idea.
I
want you to win, Peter, and you should consider it. Not throw away. Thanks for taking my call.
Can you believe how involved our listeners are? This guy wasted a communication with God.
Who's that?
To pray for you.
Oh,
Pushkar
oh.
said he prayed for you.
Well,
this
I don't think you run out of prayers.
Well, who knows? We don't know the rules. God could say, really? You're praying for Peter to get a point? Okay, the big prayer you want in 10 years is out.
That would be – that. He's not a vindictive God, or she's not a vindictive God. I appreciate the support, and I guess what? I'd make the picks right now. You want to do it? I'll do the picks right now, Michael.
No. It's tomorrow at 5:45.
I really wish we made the picks earlier during the playoffs. I want to say it tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Why can't we open the show with the picks?
Why would you want to make a pick earlier when there could be injury? We don't know if
– Because tomorrow in particular – and, Don, hear me out on this.
Yeah.
We have all week to make these picks. There are four games, okay?
Yep, sure.
The lines aren't going to change in 4 hours tomorrow.
But not the lines. Somebody getting injured, especially during COVID. Are you crazy?
But they're going to get injured during the show tomorrow?
Hear Peter out. Yeah, what's going to happen in the 2 hours and 45 minutes?
Hear me out. The reason I say it is the idea of saying, oh, you know, we save it till 5:45. Okay, I get that it's a nice tease and that there's something fun for people to come in for that. I don't know if statistics bear out that works or not. But, okay. But I think people will get more enjoyment out of the picks being out there early in the day and the trash talk that could come. We could find out in the pick segment at 3 o'clock that I messed up and I'm out. Like, there's so much that could sit on the table for the whole show. And furthermore, as we break down the games, don't we want to be able to say, there's only four games to talk about. Let's talk about the games fully and not have to hide what our picks are.
You know what? It's a fabulous point. I mean, our job is to give our opinion throughout the show. Why are we holding back?
You can give opinions without tipping your hand.
No, but I don't want to see. Let's say I have conviction on a game. You don't think that would be a talking point if I just said, I think the Rams are going to kill the Buccaneers. I think they're going to get all over Tom Brady. I think the Buccaneers are cooked. You want me to keep that?
And so right before ENN, we have a short ENN after that? That's it.
So I'm sure. supposed to keep this bombshell of an opinion in my pocket until 5:45.
Let's change 20 years of history. Let's do it.
That's what life is, man.
Hold on.
A show evolves. People evolve.
How's it
Our
working
society
out for us?
Evolves.
How's it working out for the show the way we've done it?
Seasons change. People rearrange. Listen, Michael, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm going to ask Don. Yeah. Don, do you remember who brought the point suggestion to the show?
That would be Peter Rosenberg.
And tell me this, why has Michael been able to rest away first place?
First of all, I have the best record, by the way.
Now you do.
Right.
Yeah.
After this week. But if it was about record, I'd be right there in striking distance still.
Here's the
point.
But
the point thing is, it's working for you. It's good.
We could have decided not to do the points because how's it working for us? Remember, there was a time where we had to pick the locals. Remember that, Peter? Had to pick the locals.
Yep. When I got here, that's what we did.
Then it was, all right, you don't have to pick the locals, but you have to pick the nationally televised games. Have to do it. Have to pick the Monday night game, have to pick the Sunday night game. We evolved away from that and actually have done better. What I'm saying is we still send Andrew our picks before the show starts, so there's no Fugazi stuff going on. But if there's an opinion, you should – now, if you want to keep it to yourself, keep it to yourself. But I just
think that's a good idea.
I think that you should have the ability – to be able to show your hand for the betterment of the show.
No.
I think if you have an opinion on something, Michael, you're gonna have an opinion. Like, if I had the opinion, I think the Rams are gonna crush the Buccaneers. You don't want me to talk about that for 2 hours and 45 minutes into the show because it's gonna affect the picks.
I believe that there's a magic to Peter being hoodwinked into following Tannenbaum. And the only way that happens...
No. I've never followed Tannenbaum. I have never... And by the way, you know, the funniest thing about that
is
that
funny?
I've been making fun of the fact all year that you're asking Tannenbaum about games and he has no idea what the line even is. At that point, he's barely even looked at that. He's too busy doing real football work.
What is wrong with you? He does a show
on
with
Sunday.
Anita on Sunday where he picks games.
But when you say, what game do you like this
week,
that's the
thing.
Always replies with the matchup he's most excited about.
Right. No, last week he said,
I think
New England has a great chance to win this game.
Well, you've bullied him there. You've bullied him into doing that. But that's not what he wants
to do.
Right,
because, listen, if you're going to ask Arnold Rothstein who you like, he's going to give you the line.
That's right.
But if you're just talking to a football guy, who do you like? He's going to talk about the games he likes. He can do gambling, but when he comes on with us, he's thinking he's just talking about football. So it's all how you define who do you like. Doesn't mean he can't do it. He just was thinking that it was that he wasn't being used for information.
You know what?
We'll take
this thing under advisement for next year.
Next year.
That you change it.
But
tomorrow.
By the way, for the record, I just want to just answer this. Do you really have a reason, or are you just being stubborn to avoid change?
That's it.
Because the show would be better tomorrow. If we ran this up the poll, I guarantee the audience would say they'd prefer 3 o'clock picks. We come in hot tomorrow. 3:01, you get the picks, and we fight it out all day. How would they not want that?
That's
good stuff.
I believe that something could happen in the 2 hours and 45 minutes that could change the way you pick a game. What if, I mean, especially in the era of COVID, what if one of the quarterbacks, God forbid, test positive?
Then why don't we do it at 6:45? We're going to buy another hour.
That's the thing.
Because do you really want to get into it? Because that's not really a rated half hour. Why would we do that?
Well, of course it's rated. But
no, it's not really.
And so, when we're not always on at 6:40. I get it. But 5:45 is just, hey, I don't know. I just think that if I got an opinion on a game, why am I holding it back? You just said what's best for the show.
I think it's best for the show. But listen, it's my idea, Don, so he's going to resist it, even if he thinks it's a good idea.
Oh, my goodness.
He doesn't just want to go, you know what, Peter? That's a great idea. You improved the show. Good job.
You know what, Peter? That's not that great of an idea.
I think it's fantastic.
Run up the poll. I dare you. Double dog dare you.
Good job, Peter.
Andrew, why don't you run up the poll? Not that the poll is going to tell us what to do. Because as I've said over and over, teams shouldn't follow – what the fans say, because the fans have different agendas.
What if it's 66% of the on-air talent?
Yeah, because sports teams get their trophy based on wins and losses, not by popularity. We get our trophy based on popularity.
That's one of the best.
But our popularity is a win and loss. There are winners, and then there are losers. Right. There are winners, and then there are losers.
Run up the poll. Just do not include Michael's a bad guy as one of the options.
No, we don't need that here. We don't need that here.
All right, let's take a brief timeout. They've annoyed me again. Every day at one point they annoy me. Right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Well, it's the 98.7 ESPN Superbox Bonanza. Be caller number 8 at 888-987-ESPN right now to win a $20 FanDuel credit. Access for 4 to the FanDuel pregame virtual party hosted by Peter Rosenberg and the Chris's, Chris Carlin, and Super Bowl champ Chris Canty. And select a box for the big game with a chance to win $500 in the first and third quarters, $1,000 at halftime, and $3,000 for the final score. Now, when selecting a box, winners could reveal one of 10 daily double prizes, including a Samsung Smart TV, Sonos One Smart Speaker, Apple Watch, electronic scooter, and more. Remember to be listening to DiPietro and Rothenberg, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, Greeny, Bart and Hahn, and the Michael K. Show through February 11th for your chance to be part of Super Box Bonanza, all brought to you by FanDuel and 98.7 ESPN. And now let's hit the Daily Don Sounder.
Hey, everybody, it's me. I'm back. And guess what? It's another Don segment.
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don.
time.
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists.
Take it away, Donnie.
Brings back some memories, doesn't it?
Oh, beautiful memories.
Well, by request from Michael K., a Daily Don here on January 20th, 2022. And I was thinking about this because it was the anniversary of the Tuck Rule game, right? And the NFL's got these iconic nicknames for plays and games, right? The drive, the catch, the sea of hands, ghost to the post, holy roller game, immaculate reception, right? It's great about the NFL. What are the top five local great nickname plays and games?
Oh, you mean just in football?
Just in football.
Okay. Can I go first, Peter?
Yeah, go ahead.
The fumble.
The what?
Well, some people call it the miracle of the Metalman lands, the fumble. Isn't it called the fumble?
What you call it is the miracle of the Metalman.
That's
and
right.
It's number four.
Okay.
Yeah, but see, I saw that like ripped in the paper, and I agree. How's that a miracle? Someone was in a miracle for the Giants. It was terrible.
Well, that's what they call it, Michael. I don't know who you got to call.
All right. Well, I got it right. What? It's number four? Okay.
It's number four. 11, that's November 19th, 1978. Herman Edwards recovers a fumble. You blame Pisarcik. You blame Zonka, whoever you blame. Scooped up by Herm. A 17-12 Giant kneel-down victory turns out to be a 19-17 loss.
And how'd that play in your house, Don?
I remember I almost choked on a peach pit. I was in the living room with my dad, and he was happy they were going to win a game. And I was eating a peach. And what I was known to do back in those days, I would pull like a, like I was chewing tobacco. Like I would have the pit in my mouth like all day.
Joe Torre did that entire games.
And it almost went right down the gullet after something like that happened.
Wow.
That's number four.
All right.
Number four.
Wait, sorry. These are all NFL or just New York? Sorry.
New York NFL.
You know, it really takes the steam out of it, Michael, when
no, it doesn't.
You don't have an audience.
No, it doesn't. So then I'd have to go with the David Tyree catch.
And what do they call it?
The Tyree catch.
No, it's the helmet catch.
It's the helmet catch, and it's number one.
Number one?
Yeah.
Wow. I guess that makes sense, right? Is there a big gap, you think, Don, between one and two? Or it's very close?
I think it's a big gap just because of, being a Super Bowl, how iconic the catch was, how much it meant to the game itself. It set up the game-winning touchdown. It's a 32-yard reception by David Tyree. Eli Manning, not known for being able to scramble.
He
gets
sure scrambled
out of the
on
scrum,
that play. Oh, yeah.
Throws a pass and completes it, and then it ends up becoming an iconic play. The catch, the helmet catch is number one.
Okay. I've got two, but I'm gonna go to a Super Bowl one. Wide right.
Great one, wide right. And it's number two.
Yeah.
Wow.
Scott Norwood, 47-yard
field.
See,
I don't know
if
there's that much of a distance, Donnie. That one won a Super Bowl. The helmet catch didn't win it.
Yeah, but it's still it's a miss of a 47-yard field goal. It was an iconic play because it helped them win, but missing a 47-yard field goal, man, that was the big deal. They gave the stat, like, only 30% of field goals made at 47 yards on grass at that time. If you can believe it or not, it's so automatic now. But to be able to balance a ball on your helmet.
It's true. The point, 47 was long at that time. That was
a chip shot.
50 was almost not unheard of, but 50 was rare.
One of the calls you hear from Frank Gifford, this is at the tip of his range.
And he's about that kick.
Yeah, about that kick. And that was January 27, 1991. That's why I think the GOAT of that game, to me, is not Scott Norwood. It's Jim Kelly. He gets the ball at the 10 with 2 minutes left. You got to get closer. I'm sorry. Can you imagine, Peter, in this day and age, they would have scored and left the Giants time to answer.
Yeah, with two full minutes left. And that's a great offense. I'd say that's not like that offense wasn't loaded. Okay.
All right, so we've got the helmet catch one, wide right number two, miracle at the Meadowlands number four. So So we're looking for five and we're looking for three.
Is there a 49er vehicle on here?
It's against the Giants or the Jets? No.
The Giants, of course.
No. Matter of fact, I'll tell you what. Both involve the Jets. How about that?
Okay.
I have one, Peter, if you're stuck.
No, please, go ahead.
I think we got to go with the backside, the butt fumble.
You know what? Michael's having a day. It's number five.
That's sad. That's horrible that it's on the list, but it has to happen.
November 22nd, 2012, Mark Sanchez runs into Brandon Moore in a game where they were absolutely demolished. I took Nancy to that game. She was happy. Lenny Kravitz was the artist that performed at halftime.
Right.
Because that was the third game for Thanksgiving. So she remembers that more than the butt fumble, but everybody else remembers the butt fumble.
She remembers Lenny Kravitz's butt.
Excuse me?
I'm sure he's on the list of hall passes if we had such a thing.
Yeah. By the way,
the way your hair is now, it's like a scroll.
You know Don, by the way, I have bad news for you, Don. If the list gets too long, it's just called your wife openly cheats on you.
No, well, we don't have one. But I just know that the guys that she's talked up.
Yeah, but if she just grabs a phone book and a highlighter, that's too much.
Lenny Kravitz and Ed Norton are not just grabbing a highlighter out of the phone book.
Norton from the Honeymooners or the actor?
No.
Again, we talked about this. She watched American History X much different than most people do.
It was American History XXX.
That's what if you see him, he's...
American History Sex.
He's cut. So the butt fumble is number five. So what about number three?
This is hard.
Give us an era.
Turn of the century.
Turn of the century.
1900?
No.
Okay. 2000. Is there a Vinny play, Michael?
No, I'm thinking, can you call Seeing Ghosts a play?
Because that's not turn of the century,
not
is
the
it?
Seeing Ghosts game.
It's sad that the turn of the century is now different than when we were growing up.
It's the last century, yeah. Sure.
Hmm. It's got a similar name to another.
Oh, I got it. I think I have it. The fake spike?
Oh, I thought about it. It would have been six.
Oh,
it would have been six. But I wanted to go positive. This is Jets positive.
Jets positive.
The butt fumble was negative. The Jets is positive. Got a mixture of positive and negative here.
All right, the most positive thing for the Jets over the last 25 years.
Yeah.
How about the famous 2nd and 8 5-yard carry for Curtis Martin?
They
picked up 5 yards, no fumble. It was positive.
Oh, the mud ball is a good one, but I didn't go mud ball. Mud ball is a good one.
I think I'm going to tap out. I can't even come up with them.
Well, this one is the Monday Night Miracle. Jets-Dolphins, Monday Night Football. 23 unanswered points and 30 points total in the fourth quarter to come back and win 40-37. Jumbo Elliott had a big touchdown reception in that one. So the Monday Night Miracle is 3. So I got butt fumble 5, Miracle of the Meadowlands 4, Monday Night Miracle 3, wide right 2, helmet catch 1. Other notables, but I didn't want to go too ultra negative. Mud Bowl certainly could be up there. And then, of course, the spike, which wasn't really a spike. He never even attempted a spike. That's how fooled they were. They assumed he was going to spike. He never fake spiked it. He just dropped back to pass and threw.
Right.
And yet it's called the fake spike.
Right, but... Those are my
good
five.
Daily Don. It really is.
Really
not,
was.
It's called the not so Daily Don, though.
Not to be confused with the other fake Spike, who's a caller we have who pretends to be Spike from New Jersey.
St. Pete. Yeah.
From St. Pete.
Now, Don, you know, I've got people that help me on this show.
Yeah, we know with your picks.
Some people have said that with quick research, Eagle fans call the Herman Edwards return the Miracle at the Meadowlands. Giant fans call it the fumble.
But if you go to, like, Wikipedia...
It's the Miracle of the
Miracle of the Meadowlands. And then, unfortunately, it's not the only Miracle of the Meadowlands involving the Eagles. Right, Andrew? We're up to, like, 3 now.
Yeah, I thought that might make the list. The punt, the DeSean Jackson.
Yeah. That could have very – but, you know, their Gibson, their offensive coordinator, was fired the next day. It was actually – looking back at it, Peter, it's probably the greatest thing that happened to the organization.
Right, because that spurred George Young to be hired.
George Young came in the next year, and then everything changed. It took that kind of embarrassment. And the hope is, Michael, in Giants circles, that the quarterback sneaks – we'll do the same thing for this year of Giants football. That we'll look back at that moment against Washington.
Oh, you know what? Have people been saying that?
Yes.
Oh, that's terrific. That's a really positive way to look at it.
The sneaks were terrible, but it's not as bad as that. You kneel down, the game's over. There's no need to hand it off to Zonker. Zonka.
What about Zonker?
No Zonker.
You know, listen, all teams have a big moment when you hope that things are going to change. That's how I feel about if the Washington football team drafts I heard they're recruiting right now. They're having conversations with the starting quarterback at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. They really think this guy's good.
You know, another one we could it's really an entire game, not a play, is the Heidi game, right?
Yeah, Bowl, Heidi game.
What about the guarantee?
I don't know if you ever heard this story. It's Jets-Raiders. It's a late-season game. And the Raiders came back, what was it, Michael, like two touchdowns in like a minute and a half. But they had to go to Heidi. I think
on
it was
NBC.
Had to go to Heidi.
7 o'clock, Heidi.
7 o'clock comes, boom, they go to Heidi, and you miss the comeback. Imagine that there was a time that replaying an old movie was the better option than finishing the football game.
But it wasn't even that. It was supposedly on a timer, and it had to go. I mean, you had to leave the game.
Right.
I don't know if they made a conscious choice, but, yeah, amazing.
Well, just nothing gets in the way of football now.
We have our Superbox contestant.
Oh, we do.
Yeah. It is Tom Buczek from Wayne, New Jersey. Is that how you pronounce your last name, Tom?
Yeah, Buczek. That's close enough.
No, oh, I got to say it right. Buczek.
I answered a lot of different pronunciations.
Well, are you related to Borat's favorite entertainer, Corky Buczek?
No, I can't say I know
him. Are you related to Johnny Buczek of the Boston Bruins?
No, but... he was a famous player for the Boston Nest.
There you go.
Bruins.
Bruins.
I'll tell you what. Now you answer to the name of winner because you are the winner of a Super Box.
That's right.
So right now, you've got the $20 FanDuel credit, access for four to the FanDuel pregame virtual party hosted by Peter, Chris Carlin, and Chris Canty. And now you get to select a box for the big game, and you can win $500 in the first and third quarters, $1,000 at halftime, $3,000 for the final score. Also, there are 10 daily double prizes. So here we go, Tom. You pick a number from 1 to 100.
Okay, I'm going to go with number 90. It's my son-in-law's football number when he played high school football for Wayne Hills.
All right, well, it's not a Super Box, but you are set. You have the chance to win the money. So keep tuning in. When we pull the numbers, you'll know exactly what you're rooting for on the 13th. So congratulations, Tom. We thank you for listening, and thank you for calling
in. Guys. I love your show. You're excellent every day.
Oh, thank you so much. Good luck, man. Good luck. When somebody says that, I root for them. That's all there is to it. I'm very transparent. If you like me, I like you. That's not a bad thing, right?
No. I mean, it's not always true, but...
There are people that like me that I don't like? Who?
If you like me, I like you. I mean, it depends. If someone wrongs you in any way, even if they still like you, but it's a perceived wrong, they may be dead.
Well, yeah. It would be legitimate. Even if you like me, if you wrong me, then you're a bad guy or gal.
When we come back, one of our listeners made a point about the picks, whether they should be at 3 o'clock or 5:45. The point is so good, I think it really closes this whole thing up.
Yeah, I've seen the poll, though, and the voting is close. It's not overwhelming enough to make a change.
Well, people are absolute hackadoodledoos. Don, it's 53.2 to 46.8. How could 46.8 prefer not to hear the picks till 5:45?
You know, maybe because they're not in the car at 3. That's the only motivation, I would think. Now, we could still go and do the picks at 5:45.
Of course. At 5:45, we'd recap them with the music, do the whole thing. Like, it's not like we wouldn't reset it, but why would you – people are just that stuck in their ways that they just go, no, I don't want it to be different.
That's how I am. Anyway, we'll take a brief time out, towel off, take some phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, Busek, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. The Michael K. Show.
And thanks, guys. I love your show. You're excellent every day.
Oh, thank you so much. Good luck, man. Good luck. When somebody says that, I root for them. That's all there is to it. I'm very transparent. If you like me, I like you.
The Michael K. Show.
I almost choked on a peach pit.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Always something to talk about. You miss a minute, you miss a lot. We had a big, big divisional round weekend coming up. Two big games on Saturday, two big games on Sunday. I'd say that all of the games are high-profile games, and if you want to say the one game that doesn't have the marquee status, it would be the first one. That would be Cincinnati at Tennessee, but I think that's an underrated game because of the fact that Tennessee is undervalued, I believe. They're much better than people give them credit for, and Cincinnati has a burgeoning superstar quarterback in Joe Burrow. But the other ones, marquee value, San Francisco and Green Bay. Any playoff game played at Lambeau Field is great. Then Sunday you've got the Rams in Tampa Bay. You never how long I'm going to be watching Tom Brady play, 44 years old, trying to win two Super Bowls in a row, so the juice is there. And then the final game is Buffalo at Kansas City. Kansas City trying to go to the Super Bowl three straight years. Buffalo has this team that looks like it's going to be really, really good for a long time and a superstar quarterback in Josh Allen. I can't wait for the weekend. I think all of these games are really, really digestible, viewable, something to look forward to.
I don't want 49er fans to jump me because they get really sensitive.
They do.
But I think that there's probably, when you look at the teams that are left, right, eight teams that are left, I think five you feel like can legitimately win the Super Bowl. The three that you struggle with are San Francisco, Cincinnati, and Tennessee. And the reason why for Tennessee and for San Francisco is, can you see either of those two quarterbacks winning a Super Bowl? Now, Garoppolo's gone to a Super Bowl, but do you think that he can win a Super Bowl, and can Tannehill win a Super Bowl? And is Burrow ready in his second year to win a Super Bowl? That's why I think I'm biased to. I think the other five you can totally see winning a championship. But is it fair to say that the bottom three would be those three?
Yes. Although I will say,
you're really selling Tennessee short. They got the bottom. They're really a good team.
That's where I was going to go, Don. Let's watch this week, and you might have a totally different opinion and go, you know what? Tennessee looks like they're built for a championship. Like that, they're a weird team because the quarterback's not sexy. But man, if Henry's playing like Derrick Henry,
yeah.
Don't forget what they did to Kansas City a couple years ago. They can shock you.
It's just that it would just. Again, it's not impossible for any of these teams to win, all right, because they've gotten this far, and they're all really good football teams. But in a quarterback sport, that's the thing that it would be an outlier for Ryan Tannehill to win a Super Bowl. Because I don't think he's a great quarterback. Now, they got a great running game. They've got a great defense. But I think in this sport, and we saw it with Prescott with the Cowboys, and we've seen it where your quarterback's going to have to make a play. And have to do some things in order to win the three games to lift that Vince Lombardi trophy. Is Ryan Tannehill able to do that?
You know what I didn't even realize till today? I was reading Mark Canizzaro on the Post. Tannehill's 33 years old. I can't believe he's been around that long.
I know, right? Time
it's
flies.
Just amazing.
And he's done a great job. And again, I don't want to make it seem like he's Trent Dilfer, but he's not asked to do a lot because of the way they run the football, and he's got amazing wide receivers.
Well, Tannehill said in Canizzaro's column, he said, quote, "It would be nice to get recognized, but I'm not worried about it." He's 30-15 as a Titans starter. 30-15. And now A.J. Brown, one of his receivers, said, "He's not in the top 10 talk or whatever talk, which to me it's nonsense. Anybody who's sleeping on him, it's nonsense." He didn't have a great year this year, though. In 2020, he had a great year. He had 33 TDs. This year, 21 TDs, 14 interceptions.
Yeah. He's not a top 10 quarterback. That's not an insult. He is what he is. But at some point, that whatever defense, if it's going to happen against, you know, Cincinnati or beyond, they're going to say, all right, we're going to have Ryan Tannehill beat us. Derrick Henry's not going to beat us. And Tannehill's going to have to make the throws. And maybe he can. And we'll see as it goes on. But of the quarterbacks that are in the playoffs, those are the three. Like, you know, listen, Garoppolo went to a Super Bowl. But you saw in the second half of that Super Bowl, he couldn't finish the job. And the same thing with Burrow. We don't know. I mean, Burrow might be the next Tom Brady. But as a second-year quarterback, is it too much to ask him to do that? So I just think in a quarterback-driven league, that's the bias that I have. But until, you know, I could be proven wrong. And let's see. It'll be interesting to see. But you'd have to admit it's an outlier. If
it
Ryan
would be an
Tannehill
outlier.
And a running game wins you a Super Bowl.
But then you'd also have to say that the Titans having the best record in the AFC is an outlier. They have the best record. They got
they
the bye. So, I mean, it kind of puts it past the outlier
True.
Category. They must have done, and they did it without Derrick Henry for half the year.
No, listen, because they've done it with defense. You know, they've had a – it's a weird division that they're in as opposed to, you know, Kansas City. Kansas City, I think, had a much, much tougher schedule just based on who they have in their division. You know, the Raiders were a playoff team. The Broncos were, you know, around a 500 team. And the Chargers went to the last day before they were eliminated from the playoffs. Indianapolis ended up being Fugazi by the end of the season, and Houston wasn't a very good team, and Jacksonville was the worst team in the league. So I think that sometimes helps your record. Also, right now, who's the better team? Just the way they were playing the last month of the season. I mean, Kansas City completely righted their ship. Kansas City missed out on the bye because of what they were going through earlier in the season. They seem to have gotten over that, both offensively and defensively. Now we're not talking about Mahomes not being able to set his feet. Now that defense is playing better.
That's the difference for them. I mean, Mahomes is too. Mahomes is no longer lost. He appears to look like Mahomes, so that is obviously a big deal. But the fact of the matter is that defense was just porous early on, and they are now a legit serious defense, which is a scary prospect to play Kansas City. Because you, even when their defense isn't good, you're terrified of their offense. I mean, you have to think realistically they've become the AFC favorite. Even though the Bills right now feel very hot.
Yeah, but I'm loving these playoffs from the AFC because, you know, the Bills are back. It's been a while since Tennessee's been good for a little while here, but as far as like competing for a Super Bowl, you know, it's kind of a fresh new face. Cincinnati, you know, instead of the same old dogs of New England, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, you know, Kansas City's there, but you still have a little bit of new blood here.
Now,
which makes it fun.
If somebody came up to me and said, Michael, you can't watch all four games. You can only watch one. Pick it. Now, I'm having a difficult time. I'm narrowing it down to two. So if I had to see one, I couldn't see the other three games, it would either be San Francisco, Green Bay, or Buffalo, Kansas City. But if you said it has to be one, I'm most intrigued by Buffalo, Kansas City. How about you guys?
That's the one. I mean, I love the Packers game because it's just I love the sexiness of 8 o'clock Lambeau Field, Packers, Niners. It's great. Oh. But I agree with Michael. I think the intrigue for me is Sunday. The Bills Chiefs, of course. I mean, those are just two of the sexiest offenses in the NFL. And the Bills have been, you know, what was it last year when they were close to the Chiefs? The Bills were there.
Yeah.
They could do it. So that's interesting. And then on top of that, this Rams team's pretty formidable for the Bucs. You know, a Bucs team that I think is a little limited and didn't get a real challenge last week against Philadelphia. So I think Sunday in general is the day.
Well, the reason Bills-Chiefs is the best on the docket is because I think the winner's going to the Super Bowl. I mean, I just hit my hand when I said about Tennessee and Cincinnati. So the loser of that game is crushed. Because I think they're missing out on going to the Super Bowl. Where you can't say that about Rams and Buccaneers because the Packers are lurking. So
that's an interesting point.
So that's the thing, is like, oh my God, you just would. Now, Kansas City, you feel less bad for. They've gone to the Super Bowl back to back years and they've won a championship recently. Like, you'd be crushed if you're a Bills fan. But I think you're going. You beat the Chiefs, you're going.
Well, let's see what you're thinking. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Bob in New Jersey. Robert. Bob.
Hi, Bob. Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right, so I wanted to chime in on the pick debate, and I think we could come up with a compromise here. Why don't you guys, disclose what teams you're picking in the 3 o'clock hour. It could serve a dual purpose. One, you get that out there in the open. And two, it will help you in your pick for competition against Dave and Rick, which we all know you guys want to win. And then at 5:45, you could disclose your picks with the points. So this way, there's still nobody knows what the points are going to be, so there's still going to be the build up for that segment. But this way, you could talk about what games you like at 3 o'clock in the open. So we have 3 hours of football talk.
Bob, if there was a trophy for best caller of the day, I'd hand it to you right now. And we still let Andrew know before the show how our points are going to go. Because not revealing the points at 3 o'clock could still work to somebody's advantage for 5:45, right? Because then you can allocate the points differently knowing who we're going to pick. So if we give the points ahead of time, then there's still intrigue at 5:45 for how we're going to allocate it. It's great. It's perfect. And letting us know who we like allows us to be free in our opinions. Bob, tremendous idea. Tremendous.
Thank you. And this way you guys could kick Dave and Rick's butts, and you win that competition, and we get to talk to you guys for 3 hours for some football.
Compelling at all, Michael? This, guys.
If it was going to be changed, that's a good idea. But number one, the most important thing, you guys are acting like whenever we've done this, we haven't spoken football till 5:45. It's ridiculous. We talk football. That's all we're going to talk tomorrow. Well, that's it.
But it adds a layer.
Yeah, and I'm tired of the whole, well, I don't want to tip my hand. Like, you feel like you're holding something back. Why would I want to go 2.5 hours, 2:45, on a really important show before the postseason and not be able to just give my unadulterated opinion? Why am I holding anything back? It's just silly.
Well, again, we give our picks to Andrew in the 3 o'clock hour, and you can talk about the games whichever way you want, and we don't make the picks official till 5:45. You essentially made your picks early.
I don't see the negative.
But what's the negative of you just? I mean, obviously you're going to be giving your picks when you talk about how you feel about the game, and that forces everybody to listen to the whole show, which is what you want. It's called time spent listening, average quarter hour. So you let them hear, let them listen, try to decipher what the picks are and guess, and then on 5:45, it's made official.
No.
Yeah, he does.
I just don't know why. Well, I don't know what you're holding. Again, I'm seeing people on Twitter moving. We're not moving the pick segment. We're just doing it again. We're just adding, which is something we do on the show all the time. Always new listeners trying to appease everybody. There's probably a segment of our audience that loves, because they're in the car early in the show, and we'll love to be able to be a part of it. I just don't know why you just can't get it out of the. I really don't see the negative. And if we're giving our points and doing all the pomp and circumstance at 5:45, it's not going to change
loses?
Anything.
I'm there.
But
you're
listen,
the one
you're
who
the
started
boss.
This. I'm not the boss.
No,
you're
the
one who started
the boss.
With your big fat mouth, Peter. You had to change something that worked. So you got into Don's head. Now he won't let it go.
Don't have ideas, Peter. Don't contribute. Just sit there.
I do that sometimes. The people complain then, too. You know?
Don, guys, 9 points behind wants to change the way we do things.
Listen, since we're given the picks before the show anyway, it's not going to matter because the information that we put out there, you can't change it anyway. So let's leave it alone. Fine. God forbid we try to evolve.
Don, you and I can give our picks. Maybe I think I'll just do that. Michael doesn't have to give his. He can save the pomp.
Why create fire, Peter? Really, we went all these decades without fire. We'll just freeze to death like a human being. All right? Why do we got to go from place to place with a wheel? We went all this time without a wheel. Let's just walk around.
I know, but my legs are tired. I feel like it might be nice to get a ride.
Since we won't let this drop, what's wrong with the show? What has the show failed at over the last 6 years?
Oh, so that's
years?
What it is. It's right. So, but again, greatness evolves.
How about this? I mean, listen, Coke is so good. Why would we add cherry? Why would we give people the option of a cherry Coke?
All right, so you want to bring that up. Coke is great, right? Coca-Cola is unbelievable. You know what? Let's do new Coke. You're trying to do new Coke with
the
picks.
This is not new
How
Coke.
How did new Coke work out?
This is not new Coke. This is not new Coke. This is cherry Coke.
This is Diet Coke.
Go to Doug on the Jersey Shore. Man. Doug. What's up, Dougie?
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
Love the show.
Thank you. I get done
with working healthcare all day, and I jump in my car at 3 o'clock, and I get to listen to you guys on the way home.
Oh, thank you, man.
Favorite show. I had a suggestion. Maybe do the 1 point pick at 3:30-ish, the 2 point pick at 4:30-ish, and the finale for the 3 point pick before Ian ends.
I like your thinking, Doug, but you know my two colleagues they hold back on telling you what they think about their 3 point pick, so it can't be that. No, they want to just unload the gun at the 3 o'clock hour.
How many times during the course of a Friday show, Peter, do we say, "Oh, I don't want to tip my hand"?
Yeah, it's part of the charm of it.
Oh yeah, that's charming. How about just coming out a full blown opinion about what who you like and why you like them, and actually doing a show. Instead
which
of having everything revolve around our picks, which really don't mean anything anyway.
I mean everything.
But Sally Muscle sends a tweet, right? And he says, "Did Don just call me a moron on radio and national TV?"
Oh,
and Don
no.
answers back, "Never," when Don did call him a moron. So you lied on Twitter.
Well, with sarcasm.
I don't. Sarcasm doesn't really.
I mean, other than saying, "Sally, you're a moron," everything I said was right at him. I envisioned his avatar when I said it. I love the guy.
I think the full term, if we're being honest, is functional moron.
Right. Yeah. Because
makes it better because he can function.
Oh, right. Exactly. Oh, because we're just having fun, but I just don't understand why people don't move the segment. Why it's not really. We're not moving anything. It's still on at 5:45. I can understand the outrage if we decided to do it at 3 and not 5:45. Then I would get it.
This is one of our finest listeners who's been here forever, and he's get called a moron by somebody on the air. It's unconscionable.
I basically called you a moron. So if I can't call you a moron, then I can't call Sally Muscles a moron?
No, you can call me a moron. I'm not being rated. Sally Muscles could just pick up his radio and go somewhere else.
As long as he doesn't pick up his meter, we're fine.
If
you do not agree with this thing, you're a moron. Really,
well, then I'm a moron.
You're
put me
functioning
under the head of a moron.
I did. Well, that's what I'm saying. You too, everybody. So we can't have the fun of calling each other names. Everybody's got to take things so personal.
That's
Sally, you'll get over it in 5 minutes.
It's a pretty,
I guarantee.
Pretty bad thing to call somebody. Paul in Staten Island. Paul.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi, Paul.
Great show.
Thank you.
I wanted to make one statement. When is Peter Rosenberg going to be called into management? This week his conduct's been atrocious.
Yep.
And he and frankly, I mean, the most popular radio show, he owes both Michael and Don an apology, the viewers an apology, and frankly, I don't understand his attitude.
Paul, you bring up really salient points.
Wait, which part? He didn't even say what I'm apologizing
but,
for.
But not being there when the light goes on.
My God Almighty! My whole point. He doesn't.
You said
get
attitude.
It.
You said attitude.
Well, that's attitude when you're not showing up when you're supposed to.
That's not attitude. That's irresponsibility. That we have to be specific with our words, Michael. They're tools. They're tools. They're weapons. And what he said is not accurate.
But you have an irresponsible attitude.
Didn't I? Well, that's okay. That was well done. But hold on, Don, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't I immediately apologize and say I take whatever is coming my way?
You
and
did.
What would my dad have said, Don?
Sorry to fix the lamp.
Yeah, like, sorry doesn't save the segment.
Here's
well,
the
what
problem.
Do you think, Peter?
Here's the problem.
And then dead silence.
But there is no accountability on this show, really. Not anymore. There's no office to get called into.
There's nobody there.
How do you guys know I didn't go to the office?
Well, who would be in the office?
I see your pictures behind you.
The principal. Oh. The principal's in the office. By the way, come on, Don. Don't. This guy. I'm not. I apologize to both of you and to anyone who was offended by what happened earlier. Come on. You know what that guy is, Don? That guy is captain of the voting to keep the picks at 3 o'clock guy. Okay.
Graphics Joker rings in. He said, "When my kids argue over a toy for hours, you know what I do? I take the toy away. Solution, no more picks."
Now, that's a good take.
Yeah. I'd be up for that.
Well, you already said you didn't want to have picks, so I'm confused.
Well, I mean, I don't like the pick segment. It ruins my winter.
It ruins your winter.
Ruins my weekend worrying every single Sunday, Monday, Thursday over picks. I want to luxuriate in the greatness of the game. I don't have to worry about, I wonder if I could beat Peter, who I know so much more football than.
Well, Well, but see, that's the thing. That's why if you were here, I would have just open-fisted slapped you right across the face for saying that. Unbelievable. To lose last year and not even have clinched this year and still say that, the audacity.
9 points behind. I don't like your chances, Skippy. We'll be back in just
a
moment.
We're a jerk for, you're a jerk for making a suggestion. Meanwhile, this yo-yo doesn't want to do picks this week.
No, that was just for drama.
In the face of what we do.
That was for drama.
All of a sudden, the picks are so important, so sacrosanct, we can't move it or add to it or change it. But you're going to actually not make picks on Friday, tomorrow.
But you realize what I was doing. That was for drama to just rub it in both your faces that I took a big fat zero and you still couldn't catch me.
Well, believe me, you take the big fat zero, you're going to get caught.
Right. And by the way, you still have two illegitimate points on your total anyway.
Don't you forget that.
Well, by the way, relax, Michael. You're not TNT. You don't know drama. You're not Kira Sedgwick, the closer. Relax.
We'll be back with more right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Everybody get your roll on. I know shorty and she doesn't want no slow song.
Yes. All listeners are great. I mean, they really get it. Really get it. So we got a tweet from the Barber and Cigar Company. And it's so intuitive, so bright, so on point. Does Rosenberg Radio have incriminating pictures of the suits at both stations? The guy is usually late for the morning show and now disrespecting TMKS. He does whatever he wants. Very well said.
But why is that his fault, if indeed he does that?
By the way, how is that read on the air? How did Michael determine Don? Don, please stop getting drawn in. You and I are on the same side. Stop getting drawn in by a bad guy.
I'm a bad guy.
How did he choose to read that on the air? That is...
You don't even know. Does he go late to the other show?
Why is this a subject of conversation? There's no need for this to be talked about on
Michael
this show.
Michael just... again, I've talked about this before, and I think Michael will agree. Every second of every day is a season in which Michael wants to go undefeated. Every moment is a game. He wants to win every segment, every second, every word that's uttered. And he will do whatever he has to be victorious.
Well, and by the way, and for that, God, this is such a great response. I want to pause for a second. That is the answer to that nasty Twitter person. Why does Michael put up with my nonsense? Because, Don, he wants to win.
Let me return, sir.
Thank you.
If I didn't want to put up with your nonsense.
You couldn't do anything about it.
I couldn't do a
powerless
thing about it. Not a thing.
And
believe
so
me, I've tried before. Not a thing.
So that's why I go.
Not about you. I've tried before.
Like that.
Not a thing.
That's
I have
why
no power.
I'm going to repeat my original response. Why is that Peter's problem? If indeed he does
he's obviously got employment Kavorka.
Well,
he's got something.
Right. No. But so why is that his fault and not management's fault for not doing something about it?
Good
because
point.
Maybe he is just so talented and means so much to the show that you got to live with those things. If indeed those things do happen, because I don't know what goes on in the morning.
Well, I'm going to put this on red alert right now. Okay. If we come back from a break tomorrow and he is not there, his mic will be cut off for the rest of the show. I can do that.
Wow.
He'll be out.
Well, hold on. How can you do that? Now you're contradicting yourself.
No, no. I'll tell Ray that, Ray, either you disconnect his mic, I'm going to come in and beat you up. That's what I'll do.
You know, it's so tough, too. This is the hard part, Don. You work on yourself as a person. You try to be better at what you do, right? You know,
I keep trying.
There was a time when I looked like a slob. I try now to, whether it's a collar shirt or this is a beautiful Biggie Small sweater, everything I wear, I try to keep it clean, nice looking, and fresh for this program. Went out on my own, got a beautiful camera, Canon camera, so I can have the best look so the Yes folks can be happy. I do what I can to try to improve at all times. I have not had one of those slip-ups of, you know, being in the bathroom during the break or any of those things. It had been literally a month or two since
anything
like that.
Right, now it's 2 and 3 days.
But now because I'm managing a different situation, rather than my teammate go, let me uplift him, maybe he had a connection problem, I have to get aired out and destroyed publicly. It's a flogging, I'd call it. It's a public flogging. And it's a distraction tactic because he was savagely beaten in an argument today and didn't have a retort.
As Olivia would say, oh, poor you.
Exactly. God, you would relate to that nasty Olivia Soprano.
Did you see this story? This really stinks. So CBS has said that due to COVID protocols, Charles Davis is out for the Bengals-Titans game. So now Trent Green will be working with Ian Eagle. Imagine this is a game, it's a high-profile game, and you got COVID protocols and you're out. That's just the worst.
Also, you know what bugs me about it a little bit? I understand it's a playoff game. I understand all of these things. But, like, we were just – every sport, every business has learned to operate with different forms of technology. Why couldn't Charles Davis be on a Comrex and in the ear of Ian Eagle? Why can't he call the game? There's no way to do it.
You know what? It's funny because you mentioned that. Jim Nance is doing the golf remotely on Saturday because he's got the game on Sunday. They can't make both of them, so he's not going to be there. And the entire NBC broadcast crew is not going to be in the Olympics.
So Charles
unless
Davis...
Unless Charles Davis is sick.
Right. Now, that's true. If he has real symptoms and he's ill, then, of course, you know, maybe he can't work. But my guess is this guy, who's had a big year career-wise, I think.
Charles Davis was very good.
He's had a very big year. I think he's kind of raised his prominence this year. It's a huge spot to have to miss when you feel like he could just do it from somewhere.
And, you know, we didn't mention this, and you've always made light of him during the announcer segment. How about the bravery and the heroism of Evan Washburn standing on a field where it was 4 degrees, felt like -6, no hat, because why cover up that beautiful head of hair?
I could not believe. Two things happened. Which game was Washburn?
Buffalo.
He was Buffalo?
Yeah.
So then what am I thinking about? What was the Sunday nighter? Pittsburgh? It was in Kansas City.
Pittsburgh,
okay.
KC.
So
it wasn't nearly as cold.
Not nearly as cold. So Washburn blew my mind to not be wearing a hat. Like, as a bald guy, if it's under 55, I'm wearing a hat. I wear winter hats. And so being a bald man, it's now like I have a stash down of hats. It's like part of my life.
Your favorite hat, by the way, is the one you bought in Minneapolis. That's my favorite.
That's a gorgeous hat. Mm-hmm. But so I always am like, I can't believe when people don't wear a hat. But then, yeah, it was both games. It was also Jack Collinsworth and Drew Brees not wearing hats in Kansas City. Where, granted, I'm sure it was, 30 degrees?
Right.
Not -30, but that's still awful.
But Washburn, that's heroic.
Well, I've always said Washburn's a hero, you know?
And he was drinking. I mean, so cool. The Buffalo bench felt sorry for him. They gave him hot soup. He was sipping hot soup. Beautiful. Did you see the video today? There's a woman doing a live report. And, you know, she's talking to a guy back in the studio. And the woman gets run over by a car.
What?
On live TV.
No.
And she never stops. She's on the floor. I'm okay. I'm okay. And you've got to see the guy at the desk. Complete robot. Never said, how are you? Oh, we'll be back. Let's see. She's okay. He just stared. I'm okay. I'm okay. And then she gets up and tells the person in the car, no, it was my fault. I'm in the middle of the road. I mean, she really got hit hard.
Oh, my God.
You see it?
I gotta see
my
this.
Lord. You really do. you really do. Hold on, I'm retweeting it right now.
Is this the West Virginia?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh boy.
I just retweeted it. If people want to go to
Rosenberg
Arena,
really got tagged.
I mean, that's a. I mean, good for her for just popping right back up. He must have not been able to see her. He must have
or
just been listening.
Or he's not very good on the air. I don't know, but he.
Yeah.
How did you not react to that?
He has to be. He absolutely is not looking at her. There's no way. No, yeah, he's not looking at her. His eyes don't even move, Michael. His eyes don't even get larger when he sees his colleague get run over.
Well,
yeah,
maybe he's
cool. I don't have the volume. I'm assuming he's reacting to what she's saying.
How could he not see? I mean, if there's a two shot, you see the other camera angle.
Wow, she gets up laughing. What kudos to her, man.
And we're not. And everybody that's listening right now, she's not just nudged. She gets plowed into.
Yeah.
And by the way, to all these television stations that are saving money and they don't send out cameramen, photographers, whatever you call them, and they have somebody set up in this dark location and the poor man or woman is sitting there alone, terrible. You're waiting for things to happen. The people, like the Weather Channel, send out all these people in hurricanes. Somebody's going to get lost. Some life is going to get lost for a dumb shot. Okay, it's windy. I get it. Do we need to see them blown away into the ocean? This woman got run over because she's doing a live shot standing in the middle of the street.
I think he sees it. I just think he's a dullard.
I'm leaning that way, Don. I don't like to.
You really do?
Other broadcasters.
Yeah, because at the end, isn't he gesturing to his back? So he saw how she got hit. Because again, I don't have volume, so I'm not going to play it where I can hear it on the air.
Hold on. I'm thinking of. I just can't. Don, I'm sorry. You might have to let me. We won't do it tomorrow. It's a football Friday. But I just came up with a truly great top fives. Top five reporter fails on the internet. There are some that are so – this is going to be up there. This is an iconic moment. But you see people – do you guys ever see the one where the one dude is back in the studio and the other guy is out in an apartment trying to find out why this apartment owner hasn't fixed something? And the guy in the studio is yelling at him, telling him what to say. And he's there. It's like grumpy old men live on TV screaming back and forth. Or the woman who's stomping on the grapes and then sadly falls off the thing and makes insane sounds. It's one of the great.
Was it an I Love Lucy episode?
Yeah, that sounded like it.
Although that woman, unfortunately, was badly hurt. It's unfortunate because it's such a funny clip. But I think it was ruined by the fact that she was seriously injured.
Well, before we break, okay?
Go ahead.
Some people have the ultimate tweet that sent us to break. And Christopher Lean has that tweet.
Mm.
And the tweet is, Don, remember, the album is called Real Late for a reason.
That is good.
We'll be back on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, so quickly to clear this up, Don, I guess we were wrong. So we're talking about this woman who got run over on live TV in West Virginia, and the anchor, his name is Tim Irr. So somebody tweets it out, and then this guy Jamie Jordan goes, "Is Tim a cyborg?" Zero reaction, and Tim gets a little ticked off. It was, "On the contrary, I couldn't see what happened, only audio. Then I wasn't truly convinced she was okay."
Well, then it would be odd that he didn't have a monitor, but maybe it's a COVID situation where he's maybe doing it from home and they just had a backdrop behind him or something. And so,
but
he,
Donald,
have
at
a
one
monitor?
Point she did say, "I just got hit by a car."
She did say that. She was pretty clear about that, the getting hit by a car thing.
Oh, she's got to be on one of the late night shows. She's a hero.
By the way, she said it's her last week on the job.
What's she doing?
I don't know what her future plans are. But that's what she said.
Well, she's going to get offers now.
She said, "Of course, this is my last week on the job. Of course, this would happen."
Wow. She's tough. Andrew says she's from Philly.
Born and raised outside of Philadelphia.
Philly tough, man. Let's go to Frank in Secaucus. Frankie!
Hey, guys, long-time listener, first-time caller, love
Welcome
the show.
Welcome aboard.
So I think Don hit the nail right on the head before, how, like, this Ranger team's great, but I don't think we're cup contenders just yet.
So I think we got to get a piece or two at the deadline, and I don't know what you guys think, but I think Patrick Kane's the move. And looking at Capo and Lafreniere recently, they are just not performing at all. And like, at what point do we just give up on them and realize that they might not be the answer? I don't think we're getting near a cup until we're open to moving these guys, especially for Patrick Kane. Answers all our questions. And fills all our needs. He's a cup winner. He has playoff experience. What do you guys think?
I'm not going to give up on those guys just yet. They've got young defensemen they can trade. I agree they need a piece, but nothing that they really can disrupt their future. I'm not giving up on Kako and Lafreniere just yet. If you want to go out and get a Phil Kessel who can help your needs this year but not really hurt you cap-wise beyond, bringing in Patrick Kane, Michael, that's a big move.
Is that even doable?
I'm sure they have the talent to do it, but I just don't want to. I want to see where we're going to go with these guys. I mean, we're talking about Kako is third year, Lafreniere is second year, but when you consider COVID, is it really been full seasons? Lafreniere was in a 56 game season where he didn't play in front of fans, didn't travel beyond like Washington D.C. You know, now this is kind of his first full season in an actual schedule. Kako, the same thing. He finished his rookie year in a bubble. Played a limited schedule last year because of COVID. I'm going to wait and see what happens with these guys. If you want to make a maintenance deal, but I think as presently constituted, if you're patient, this team's going to get better and better. I'm not going to mess with the future to try to go on a cup run right now because it may not happen this year, but I think it's going to happen if you're patient. And don't disrupt that. A lot of good young talent you want to see through here.
Talk about a lack of luck, though, Don. You know, the Rangers do great in the lottery, and they don't get Connor McDavid. They get two guys that seemingly are projects, right?
No, I mean, projects.
They didn't hit right away.
Yeah,
projects at Jace.
Listen, look with the Devils. They've had two first overall picks in Hischier and Hughes, and
right.
Both are really good players, but they're not Connor McDavid. They're not Sidney Crosby.
Right.
You know, they're not Alexander Ovechkin. I mean, just it's all about having the right draft, the highest pick of the right draft. But that doesn't mean these players can't mature into outstanding players. And I do think their growth was a bit stunted by, you know, what's happened over the last couple of years. You know, kind of a Fugazi training camp, throwing things together last year. Was it no preseason games? You know, this year, very limited preseason, you know, starting the season later than usual. I agree that Lafreniere is not going to be what they maybe thought in, like, the next Steven Stamkos. But it doesn't mean he can't be a guy that could score 30, 40 goals in this league and be really good player. He's played on a bunch of different lines. He's played different wing positions. Kako, the same thing. I think there's enough there to kind of wait and see and not give up,
and also
especially for an older player.
Take a look at Chris Kreider, right? He's always been a good player, but he's playing better now at the age of 30 than he's ever played. Sometimes it takes a while to click in.
It's a great point. Unlike basketball, hockey is sometimes a sport where you get late bloomers. And this is a guy who's been in the league 10 years, and now all of a sudden he's got 25 goals, and we're not even to the midway point. He's on pace for 50 goals. He's never scored 30. You know, so he's really coming into his own. So, and I'm not saying it's going to take that long for these young players, or they're even going to get to the point where they're scoring 50 goals. But you get a Patrick Kane, that means you got to win now. It's not like he had Henrik Lundqvist, Michael. We got to win a cup for Hank. You got one player over 30, and that's Ryan Reeves. Everybody else is under 30, and they're all the best years are still ahead of them. So let's see how this plays out.
Now, about 2 minutes ago, Tori Yorgi, the girl who got hit by the car, tweeted this out. She has a picture of her, two thumbs up in front of the station logo. And she goes, "Wow, I am flattered by the kindness and well wishes. I am feeling fine, just a little sore. Thank you all so much." And for the record, WSAZ-Zier, the anchor, couldn't see what was happening in the moment. "He is one of the kindest people I know and was the first to call a check on me."
I guess people really were all feeling the
well,
same that, way.
Well, they're calling him a cyborg.
But it's easy to look at the video because everybody assumes, why would he not see her?
Right. They don't, yeah. Not how
but
it works.
But it sounds like he may, the studio might be different. I mean, it's West Virginia, so it's possible that they're doing things remotely. And maybe they don't have the, because I can't imagine a television station not having at least a return where you can see who you're talking to.
Now, Andrew tells me, Tori, the woman who got hit by the car, she's heading to WTAE in Pittsburgh as a nighttime reporter. So she's not getting out of the business. I love when things come together.
Well, the thing I worried about because of her age, Michael, when she said she's getting out of the business, I'm like, oh, I hope it's not maternity leave, and I hope everything's okay if she was pregnant and got hit by the car.
She's not going to be a WTA for long. Her star is going to rise now. I mean, can you imagine the publicity she's getting? As long as she's okay, she could spin this into a big job. Big job. Maybe at American Gladiator, something like that. She can do it.
That's a great point. I wasn't even thinking about it that, Michael, like that way. Like, who knows what her current job is, but you're right. She could get thrown right into like a real like high-impact action kind of sideline reporting job.
Hey, yeah.
Hey, literally and figuratively, she's a hit.
Oh, wow.
Wow. You know what?
It's too soon.
She's okay.
It was too bad. It wasn't soon. Don, I disagree. It wasn't soon. It was offensively not funny, but not too soon.
Kyle Shanahan said it's looking good for Nick Bosa to be cleared before kickoff because they know that concussion will be healed before kickoff. I love that.
Well, hope and desire.
He's a big part of that. I mean,
he is.
Put some pressure on Mr. Rogers. In his neighborhood, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so we got a big ENN coming up.
Big.
Although I think we're thinking of changing ENN to 3 o'clock now, because why wait till 6? Because we can talk about these stories the whole show.
You can make a case there could be an earlier ENN.
We thought about it. Pre-ENN.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not that crazy a thought.
Yeah, it's a little nuts.
When you're open to ideas, you'd be surprised how they flourish.
You know what? I hate change. You know I do.
I know you do.
But sometimes it turns out good. And some would say in every case related to me and the show, the changes have worked.
Well,
By the way, really cocky. No, I'm just pointing out the truth. But I make mistakes and make changes too. I was getting feedback that the announcer thing was too long. And even though I love it and it was fun, it was my little gimmick. I say, you know what? I've heard enough. People are saying it's too much. We'll cut it down. We'll do something different.
Beautiful.
I know. Don loves it. By the way, did you guys know that Sade Badernois? Sade.
You messed it up, but go ahead.
Sade. What did I say?
It wasn't Sade. Say it again.
Sade.
There you go.
Sade Badernois.
Badernois. What did she say?
Anyways, she works for our company. She's exceptionally talented.
Yes, an exceptionally talented human who has been doing news for years and years. Did you guys know someone just tweeted this? That she almost was killed in an accident?
On the air?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
In Baltimore. This article is from 2005, and it happened before that. Michael, it was exactly what you said. They had her out covering flooding in Hackensack, New Jersey. And there was a hit and run, and she almost died.
Was she the one who got hit by the rear view mirror on a car? Because I remember that. Somebody got really injured. You know, they were doing a live hit, and they got smashed in the head by a rear view mirror. Side window.
For months, I was unable to move. I was strapped with my arm and my leg in extreme pain. Now I just have to get to use my arm again. This is back in 2005. Of course, thank God she was okay. She's gone on to have an amazing career. But, yeah, to the point you were making, that scary things happen out there.
I mean, they put these people, and we see it in a local station here in New York, the biggest market in the world, they put them alone in tough situations without a cameraman, without security, and they are – transmitting, they set the camera up and they stand in front of the camera. You're setting people up for a really bad thing to happen.
Well, and
just
how about
to
this?
Save money.
And last thing here about reporters, up and coming TV reporters. The other job that the young people get a lot of the time is being sent to grieving families talk to them.
It's the worst.
Like when I had a family tragedy years ago, I volunteered to go talk to the reporters and tell them to leave us alone so I could do it in a way that was nice because I understood they're being forced to come out here. But, like, they show up at the homes of people the day someone in their life has been killed.
Yep.
They get forced to go show up and do that job.
Newspapers and television stations. Yeah, it's awful. Imagine the person gets assigned that. Oh.
I know. Driving over to go try to bother people on the worst day of their life. It's an awful gig.
ENN's a great gig, though. That's coming up in just a moment right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.